Joining me on the March edition of Our Town is Andy Griskowiak, superintendent of Scius Law Schools. Mike Harpelrode, who is the principal of Scius Law High School. And good day to both of you.
Good morning, George.
Good morning.
So we just came off. I want to start here because this is kind of a cool thing. We just finished with wrestling. Viking wrestlers, a couple of state champions in there. And Mike, I know that you must be pretty proud of the job that all the wrestlers did, not just the ones who made the state championship.
The entire season was pretty successful. It was seeing our girls out there competing at a higher level than they have in years past, including the state champion and the boys as well. Just an exciting season. Really excited for Coach Wartnick and Mrs. Bam.
Well, and what's interesting is that on Monday evening, this Monday evening, on Viking Hour, McCallie Lade and Mason Buss were there, and McCallie was talking about how this was her first year wrestling. And I was like, wow. You know, to be a state champion and to be 33-2 on the season was just an incredible feat.
That's pretty impressive. Yeah. They had a fantastic season. And when you watch wrestling, you realize just how much more technical it is than I think the casual observer would recognize. And when you actually get to watch a meet and see how it's scored and how it all comes together, you realize how much effort the kids are putting into it.
Well, and again, you know, most people's introduction to wrestling is Raw, WWE. It's like, that's not really kind of what, that's more entertainment than anything.
Yeah, and typically the state tournament's a two-day event, and with the weather, they reconfigured it and did it all in one day. So that makes everybody's effort that much more spectacular.
Yeah. So big congratulations, like you said, to the coaches there.
We had a nice send-off for the team on their way to state last Wednesday, and we did a stand-up assembly for them yesterday to welcome them back and tell them how much we appreciate their efforts.
Wow, that's pretty cool. So along with that, we also have been doing on a monthly basis sort of the student of the month, and I know you've probably got a list of things, and you guys want to share the accolades this time? Is that
sure? Okay, so I'll start off with our elementary Vikings of the month. So in our kindergarten group, Miss Gibson's room, Memphis, Miss Laverich, Stormy, Mrs. Vasquez, Kylan, and Miss Ackerman, Daisy. First grade group, Mrs. Miller, Abby, Mrs. Jones, room, Presley, Mrs. Rasmussen, Kenzie, Miss Lade, Hudson, second grade, Miss Wachtel's room, Owen, Mr. Fleming, Mikey, Miss Antilla's room, Camilla, Miss Newland, Marshall, Miss Lewis's room, Kai, Miss DeSaro's room, Alan, and in Miss Rasmussen's and Mr. Utz's room, Glenn. Third grade group, Mrs. Cargill's, Noah, Miss Botker, Joshua, Miss Parker, Kinsey, and Miss Sarang, Kendra. Fourth grade, Mrs. Halpin's room, Xander, Miss Storm's room, Joshua, Mrs. McNeil, Sophia, and Mrs. Needer's room, Tessa. And rounding out the fifth grade, Mr. J's room, Esme, Miss B's room, Gia, Miss Davis's rooms, Danny, and Mrs. Rue's room, Noah, for our Vikings of the Month. Now, we'll switch the order up, and we'll put high school in the middle this time.
Just so you get Mike talking.
Exactly. Give me a break this time.
There you go.
From Career Technical, Mr. Looney has selected Jacob and Kai from Mr. Smith's Mills classes. In electives, Corey from Ms. Joslyn and from Ms. Suvigis, Layla. In language arts, Ms. Goodell's class, Jessica, from Mr. Melville, Hannah, and from Ms. Straley's class, Rose. In mathematics, from Mrs. Holden, Lena. Liam from Mr. Johnson's class, Addie from Mr. Corbett's room, and Elise from Mr. McNeil's room, and from Mrs. Williams' class, Isaiah. In social studies, Mr. Carmer has picked Ryan, Mr. Milky has picked Benjamin, Mrs. Nelson has Cash, and from Mr. Shin's class, Ian. And from PE, and PE and health together, actually, from Miss Heller, Kiriana, from Mr. Johnson, Emily, and from Mr. Perry, Camden. In science, from Mrs. Mann, Noah, and Wesley from Miss Wells' class. Student support team also picks Vikings of the Month, and they have from Mrs. Johnson, Emily, from Ms. Newman, Ian, from Mr. Orr, Hunter, Storm from myself, from Mr. H, and Kira from Mr. Perry. Also in support staff, from Ms. Luevano, Tony, from N.B. Dunn, Delta Rose, and from Mrs. Harrison, Carlos.
Okay, so bumping back to the middle school, our Vikings of the Month in the sixth grade group, Mr. Kemp's Language Arts, Judah, Ms. Kopelik's math, Henry, Mrs. Perry's science class, Lupita, and Ms. Wartnick's social studies, Melody. Seventh grade, mathematics, Mr. Doherty's class, Willa Harkle Road. Mr. Johnson's social studies, Trenton. Mrs. Roach's language arts, Luca. And Mrs. Dragoning's science, Aubrina. Eighth grade core, Mrs. Grove's science, Emily. Mr. Grundin's math, Charlie, and Mr. Roach's language arts, Courtney, and Mrs. Wiggins' social studies, Tristan. And then in the electives groups, for PE, Mrs. Ulrich, Talia in the library, AV from Mrs. Raybill, math support, Mrs. Mitchell, Kira, art, Mrs. Ori's, Bo, Spanish for Mrs. Petticord, Camilla, reading support, Mrs. Ramsey, Gabe, band for Mr. Restivo, Elio, and computer tech, Mr. Looney, Braden. That takes care of our middle school Vikings of the month for February.
Wow. You know, it's interesting. I was listening to the names in there, and back in 1991, my son was born. I named him Kai. I didn't hear that name too often. Now you've got two in the school, one in the high school and one in the elementary school, and that's kind of interesting. It's kind of cool to hear that name.
Well, again, that's doing this for 28 years, you kind of see an evolution
cyclical
of names.
Right.
Yeah. Ones that were, again, like 15, 20 years ago that were rare now pop up more often, and then you'll see them become like more rare and then pop up again. It's interesting how those have kind of turned around decade by decade. So
yeah, the Marys and the Helens and the Johns, they're kind of a little more rare these days.
Well, there was a spike there that we had some throwback names, mm-hmm. like 10 years ago, which was interesting. Which is kind of cool. See some of those.
Yeah. It makes it hard for educators to actually pick names for their own kids.
Yeah,
we've got lots of memories.
Well, then you got like
kids.
Jane Locatour. Jane was a very common name for many
yeah.
years. So yeah, it's like now coming up soon here. I believe it's the 17th, isn't it? March 17th.
Yep.
Is that the day?
High school job fair.
High school job fair. So now, I guess this is, I wouldn't say brainchild, but this is something that they had done at other places, but you brought it into the school this time, right? Is this
correct? Yes.
Unique for that? With Penn coming over to
right.
the school?
With Mrs. Hickson now working in the district office, she had approached me about wanting to do this specifically for the high school students and incorporating a lot of members of our business community. Some of the businesses were looking to bring on and hire kids for temporary work, part-time work, summer work. But also a lot of businesses were looking to participate just to give kids a chance to do interview skills, you know, prep their resume, give the kids kind of a rundown of what it takes to come out and do that if they're going out and actually looking for a job. So it's kind of a split event, is that some are coming out and saying, hey, come out. We're going to give you the interview. We're going to run you through these pieces and let's see how you do, then give you a little evaluation on it. And some are actually doing that and then saying, hey, we might have work at spring break or the summer, and we're going to use this as our screener for that as
or
well.
Or internships
as well, yeah.
Yeah. So is this – I'm guessing this isn't a requirement, though, is it? Or is it?
It's a soft requirement. We're spending about the week ahead of time using some classroom time for students to actually create resumes and fill out a mock application so they have some materials lined up so they can present as a good audience, a good candidate for the vendors who are coming to the job fair. We will have an assignment requirement come out of those classes so that we'll hit the grade book at some point. It's not a requirement that the students find a job, but we are going to have everybody right. attend the job fair for at least a portion. We have a full hour slated for each grade level to attend. And in that time, those who are engaged in the process and looking for work and having some success with interviews, they can stay for the entire hour. For our students who are, this is more of a passing skill that they're working on, then they can return back to classrooms.
Well, I think that anybody who's been through an interview process knows the importance of having the skill to answer questions. I mean, it's one thing, you know, being asked the questions, but it's another, you know, being able to articulate something about yourself that gives the employer, potential employer, an idea of who that person is.
Yeah, and career development skills are part of their graduation requirements. We don't have a specific career development class, but over their 4 years, as part of advisory and other activities we do in classes, this is one of those events that helps kids earn that graduation credit over their 4 years in school.
And I guess the freshmen and sophomores will have a couple more years to do this if you continue to do
right.
this through the thing. So by the time they get out, I mean, they're ready. Hopefully.
And they should have a resume that builds from year to year. Our students already started out in Future Success class, which is a required class for all ninth graders. They are creating an activity sheet tracking the things, the events, the clubs, the sports, the other activities that they participated in high school. And they keep track of those, knowing that when you're senior year and you're filling out scholarship and college applications or whatever you're going to do after school, it can be hard to remember all the way back to freshman year and some
right.
of the things you were doing.
And the more things there, the more opportunities are going to be for you.
Because right. yeah. for a lot of our kids, again, they're not going to come out with a resume that has a job experience history on it, but they're going to have volunteer work at school, volunteer work through their church, volunteer work through other youth organizations. And those are things that employers are looking for. Because employers aren't going to look and say, this kid had five jobs. They're going to say, here's other opportunities where they followed through with a task for completion. Those are people that they know in the community that they can contact and say, hey, how is this kid as a potential employee?
Yeah. And when the kids have activities like NHS or Key Club or Interact or any of the other clubs that they're participating in at school, that looks good as well. Helps them to distinguish themselves from their classmates.
Well, sounds like a good thing. Now, give the details. I don't think you want to mention all the vendors that are going to be there, but just an idea of what are some of the areas that are going to be covered there. Like, I know you've got military, you've got some folks from the
Army. Yeah, so we've got restaurant, hotel, emergency management, representatives from both city government. We've got healthcare, senior care, several different trade organizations, banking and finance, tourism, senior healthcare, forestry, school, emergency personnel, employment agencies. Yeah. Again, all branches of the military will be there as well. So,
radio.
Pretty good slate. Radio, radio communications, absolutely.
You got to get that one in there.
We're there on site, yeah. So, again, it's a good spot for, even for our kids that really don't even know what they want to do. To go out and just talk to people as well, find out what certain organizations do. Again, a kid that goes to talk at the ODOT table may not understand all the possible job opportunities within ODOT, right? Yeah. A kid that goes to the military table may not understand all the possible job opportunities within the military. And even then, they think, oh, maybe I'm going to the radio station table. I don't want to be the person on the radio. But there's a lot of other jobs that happen.
Yes, there are.
Behind the scenes in the radio station with all the technology that goes on that has to happen to make it function.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, I was listening to Mason Buss the other night, and if he wasn't going to college, I would try to grab him up. He's got a great voice. I think he'd be good on the radio.
But, absolutely, yeah.
Now, Mike, you've got something else that's coming up down the road, too, with a senior seminar. Tell me a little bit about that.
Indeed. This actually started a couple of weeks ago. We're using our Pride, which is our advisory period that occurs each day. We're using that together, the seniors in the library, for a series of sessions that I guess can best be described as adulting 101, some of those soft skills that are becoming all the more important now for seniors. Things like buying and selling a car and getting insurance and managing your own budget and renting an apartment. Everything from that to probably even some light vehicle maintenance, changing a tire and those kinds of things. A lot of the things that people say ought to be taught in schools, but they don't really fit anywhere else in the curriculum, are being squeezed into our senior seminar. For a couple of the classes, we'll be inviting the junior classes, or a couple of the sessions, we'll be inviting the junior class in as well when the items are pertinent to them. But this really is a great opportunity to have some things we can't quite get to in formal education, but are definitely a part of being a well-rounded citizen today.
Well, that sounds like a great thing to do, too, and it's a good plan. You said Bob Orr is?
Bob Orr is the head instructor on that. He's our senior counselor, and it's not a requirement for our seniors to come, so we ask that those who do come for purposes of engagement and learning along the way. It pertains to all of them. We'd like to see all of the seniors come, but at the same time, we want to have an audience that's going to be there and ready to receive the information.
Well, again, at some point, they're all going to buy a car, and they're all going to need a place to live, so yeah, it's a good
Kids do a similar plan like this in the personal finance unit of the economics class. And this is really going to kind of drive that home. Here's the practical reality of the plan you set when you thought that the job you got where it was going to be you, an apartment, and a spouse, and four kids, and a brand new car, and a big screen TV. And you went, oh, I can't make it on my budget. Here's the right in front of you. And, Buster is going to hammer that home. You got to do a little more than the bare minimum to get by everything you want.
And so parents that are listening, encourage your senior, and in some cases junior, to go to this class. And trust me, if you don't have time to teach them yourselves, this is a great opportunity for the
school. Absolutely. We'd love to see all the seniors attending.
All right, let's finish up with a little bit of just a discussion on some procedural stuff that happens. I know that folks from time to time, have concerns or complaints or things that they want to talk about, and there's sort of, I guess it would be considered a chain of command on how to bring those things to light. Maybe not a chain of command, but a good starting point. And you guys have been kind of dealing with that with some board stuff and that.
Well, the first thing is have you talked to the person that's directly involved. When you go through our policy manual, which is large and online and all this stuff, if you talk to the person first involved, that's usually where you can find probably the first informal resolution. If you need assistance, typically the principal or I can kind of help guide people through it and direct you to the right level. And that's usually where everything needs to start. And then, you know, find out what's really going on. Get, again, find out what the root cause of the problem is. Get it on paper. And then look for a solution that lies within policy and law. That's really what we're, that's what we can do.
Well, a lot of conflict resolution, you know,
really,
can be done at the core level, you know,
with
the people involved in it a lot of times, rather than making it a bigger deal than it needs to be.
Perhaps. Well, again, and sometimes that's, again, starting asking, well, what's your desired resolution, right? Because sometimes people want things that are outside of policy and law, and I have to tell them that right off the bat. Those are things that are outside of the scope of the school. And sometimes people want to be heard, and some people are looking for a solution that lies within that. And fixes are easy. Sometimes the fixes are not that easy, but we can make it happen and we move on from there. And it's a matter of getting things to the right level and finding the solution that works.
How much policy is set by the state versus by the school? Are there things that the school can set policy on? Because I imagine from time to time a situation would come up and it would be discussed, and all of a sudden you say, hey, you know, this might be a need to amend the policy.
Most of our policies are fairly generic and follow a fairly standard pattern from the state. It's we can go beyond and require things in some cases that are more stringent, but we can't set aside state law. So again, we were talking about this the other day, and kind of like a non-complaint example would be state requirement to graduate is 24 credits. We require 25, so we go beyond that, right? Mm-hmm. And again, so the standard, you know, complaint procedure is typically direct to the teacher, direct to the principal, direct to the superintendent, and then to the board. And that is basically the pattern every school district in Oregon follows.
If I could jump in there just for a point of clarity, beginning with the class of 2026, so this year's freshmen, have a graduation requirement of 25 credits. So all my sophomores, juniors, and seniors who are listening, you still have 24.
Right. It's on the freshmen, and they have, yes, an extra credit in social studies.
Now, my understanding is, too, this is one of the largest freshman classes that has come in a while. Is that correct?
They're huge. And I've known many of them, most of them, since kindergarten. Mm-hmm. So they've been a bubble that I've had to adjust staffing for K-5, and we knew they were coming. So that's one of the primary reasons we needed the additional space with the new portable classrooms that now house our math classrooms. We had to bring those in modular style just to house a much bigger crop of students. In fact, the three biggest grade levels in the district right now are 9th, 10th, and 11th grade at the high school. So we're pretty full.
Wow. Sounds exciting.
It is.
Good time to be an educator.
Absolutely, George.
Thank you both for being here today.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
And that wraps up our March edition of Our Town. A thanks to all of our guests as we look forward now to April.